She's functionally immortal. She can wait a few days. Hi, welcome to Actual Play, Stars Without Number. This is episode 3, part 2. And if you just listened to the last one, we were in a bit of a tight spot with Prometheus. I'm excited to say this session plays that out. There's also a really cool thing that we do at the beginning of it, which is address the scenario in which a player feels that they are out of options or that the only options they have are foolhardy. And the discussion that we can have as a gaming group collectively about what's on the table, what makes sense right now. And you can do so, and I think we did do so, in a way that doesn't necessarily divide the GM from the players and certainly doesn't put the GM in an adversarial role. Because it's sort of all of our responsibility to buy into the fiction that we're playing into. So none of us, the players or the GM, are going to say, well, you know, Prometheus is a pushover and she's easy to she's not a threat. We all acknowledge that she's a significant threat, physically, technologically, even, you know, mentally and socially. And so what that leaves is for us to sort of put our with, you know, to talk internally, to talk out of character about, well, what would some reasonable approaches be? Not what's a guaranteed success, but maybe what's not a guaranteed failure. And I really enjoyed having that conversation because I think it's a really good reminder that while the fiction we do play to find out, we do follow the fiction, we also care very much about the players and ensuring that they still have agency and that they're still active members of the story and they're not going to kind of get swept along by the consequences of a single action. Or if they do get swept along, that they maintain the fiction continues to be about their struggles and them dealing with those consequences rather than the world, the larger world sort of taking over the story. So this was really great. I loved having this conversation, and then I loved the hijinks that ensued. So please enjoy. Welcome back to Actual Play, Stars Without Number. We just ran into Prometheus, you know, Atlas's brother, sister, and she's gonna murder us all if we don't free Draco. So, you know.
No
big deal.
But to free Draco. Honestly, there are no options here.
Oh, I think there's plenty of options. I think run like hell is a good option. I think, you know, run even faster is a great option.
She has a very big gun.
I mean, there are corridors.
Right, there are corridors.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, actually, I think this is a good point. I think there's times in a game where a player can feel like, oh, I don't actually have any options. And I think we should completely feel at comfortable to like turn to Jay and say, Jay, could I try and trick Prometheus? Could I try and run away? Could I try and fight her? Like, are those things possible? Does that seem like I'm just setting myself up for failure? Like, I think we can ask our friendly GM, who loves us and is excited about our characters.
I am excited about your characters.
What things are reasonable and not let the fiction, mandate our actions too much.
I think that my plan at this point is that we wake up the technicians and maybe in the process of doing that are able to learn something useful or buy some time and make a different plan.
Right. I think you will have to convince Prometheus of that. I think Prometheus wants Draco woken up first, right? As the GM, I'm playing to find out. I have no idea. I have no set anything here. This does not have to be a fight. This does not have to be, I don't know what this is. We're all playing to find out what it is. So I have no expectations, right? What I do know is, I know what Prometheus's agenda is, right? She's not opposed to waking up the technicians first, but you're probably gonna have to roll for that, and that might be challenging, right? She really wants, because that's gonna take time, and she doesn't, you're here right now, and you can make this quick and easy for her, right? You can open up and start the download process right now, right? Where the technicians, we're looking at some days before, right? They come up and they got to come around and, oh, okay, yeah, I'm feeling like I'm in my body again. I'm okay, let's, and she's like, no, we can get Draco up and running and then we can wake up the techs.
She's functionally immortal. She can wait 2 days.
That's true. But I think that's a dice roll, right? Okay. But again, I'm not predisposed to anything, right? So to me, this is not a mandatory fight. I don't know what this is. We're playing to find out.
If I can ask a question, is there, like, I was reading a lot of empathy coming off of Atlas, right? It was, you know, kind of obvious that Atlas felt this kind of almost loyalty to our group, you know, people that he met fairly recently, right? I mean, like, this is, you know, like, I was like, wow, there's, you know, so much emotion here. When I turn to Prometheus,
right,
is there anything that I get from that? Like, I'm not talking about like reading
mind
or whatever. I'm just talking about.
So I think you get, there is emotion off of Prometheus, right? But it's emotion enough to fool humans, right? Humans won't be able to pick up that it's not real. It's all performative, right? It's what she wants it to be to get what she wants from any humans that are around, right? Atlas is immune to it, right? Atlas may recognize it like, oh, I see you blinking there, right? But it doesn't, you know, I know it means nothing to me, right? I know what you're doing there. But for humans, right, they're susceptible to it.
I think I turned to you, Atlas, and I'm like, do you want me to mediate?
That's very sweet, Dartha, but she has a huge gun, and I think that mediating will just put you in between me and the gun.
I mean, being between you and a gun is part of the job description.
You would die.
I'm going to take your cue then. I have asked very, you know, and I will take a step back.
My objective is that Dartha not die.
That seems like a good objective.
Yeah, I don't want Dartha to die either.
If you're talking to Prometheus and pitching this idea, let's do that thing. I think in the meantime, Hope will be like on one of the data pads, or maybe the data pad that you uploaded the data through, so she can access it. And I'm kind of curious about what this bad science is, because I want to get a flavor, a feel for what kind of horrors we would be unleashing if we let Draco go. You know, like what things that they're doing to people. Is that accessible? Is that data that can be pulled up quickly, or does that take some time to?
Oh no, I think Atlas has it all. I'm assuming if Atlas makes it available, you can just pull it up. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, Atlas already has it.
Yeah. So, you know, Prometheus is like, let's get going, and I'm like, okay, you know, Atlas, if I can borrow your pad for a second, and I'm just like, you know, it's this, I imagine this like looks like see-through, you know, data pad folds out like very expanse style. And Hope is just sort of like whipping through. She's not a programmer, so if it's like super encoded, she's like, Atlas, how do I get to the directory? Okay. You know, but I would like to see like just how what kind of stuff we would be aiding and abetting here.
No, you can. I had it. So give me a second here.
No problem.
I swapped machines. I'm downstairs and I didn't bookmark it down here. It's bookmarked upstairs.
I know that feeling so badly.
And I'm like, oh, where is it? It was in here.
Well, if you want to come back and let me know, like as we're about to unlock, as we're about to free all the techs, that's fine too. Maybe it takes Hope some time to Hope can't process the data instantly like Atlas can.
So is the plan to free the techs?
Let's go wake up some techs. Yeah.
Yeah. So unless you put some dice in play, I think Prometheus is like, no, we're going down to the tanks and we're going to set Draco free. Then you can wake up the techs.
Don't we need the techs beforehand?
They're going to take too long to come up and around.
The techs were here for a reason. Don't we need the techs beforehand?
Not to download Draco. You can do that. That's what you were made for. That's why you have the code.
I think you're... And Hope is trying real hard to play cool here. I think you're right, Atlas. As she's flipping through it, she's like, there's more than just Draco on this ship. There's all these experiments and all these other things going underway. I mean, for things to start, you're really going to want a whole team. I'm trying to help in your role. Right.
Okay.
Because I think we're coming down to a role and that will count as help. That's nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think Prometheus says, that's a good point. There is some bad stuff on this ship. And if you wake up the wrong techs.
Well, with all the data that we have, I'm sure we can determine which techs to wake up that would further our agenda.
I don't have that kind of time. Let's go get Draco up. Then I'll let you and your people go. And wake up the techs.
Why is this time sensitive? You're functionally immortal. What's the rush?
I want this job done and over with. I have one job. And if you can't do your job.
So Dartha is like looking back and forth
right
in the middle, just as they're kind of like negotiating. And I stick my little pseudopod up and I'm like, would you like me to mitigate?
And I think at that point, you can hear that Gatling gun is at full spin. And she picks it up with one hand.
That's a no, Dartha.
And rolls it over. Yeah.
Dominique, do you want to make a talk roll?
Like to make a talk roll.
You have diplomat, which means you know how to get your way through personal negotiations and can manipulate the attitudes of those around you. Even so, while smooth words are versatile, they only work if your interlocutor is actually willing to listen to you, which I think Prometheus is.
And then,
You speak. Okay. You can learn languages quickly, but okay. You also have authority. Mm-hmm. You have an uncanny charisma, one that makes others instinctively follow your instructions.
Interesting. This whole time, like Prometheus is like, well, you're my peer, but they're kind of giving you orders? Like, wait a minute, who's really in control here? If you're the one with the codes, doesn't that make you like higher up?
Yeah, I feel like I should, like, you need me for this job, so we're going to do this the way I want to do it. We're doing it my way.
It's actually a special ability you have. It's part of the authority foci that once per day you can make a request from NPC who is not openly hostile towards you, roll charisma plus lead, skill based on the difficulty set on the NPC's morale score. If you succeed, mm-hmm. they will comply with that request, provided it's not harmful or extremely uncharacteristic. I mean, I think it's kind of six one, half dozen the other,
right,
rolling talk or lead here, but it feels like that's very much in your purview.
I would do better to roll talk than to roll lead, just looking at my stats.
Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to roll that.
What's the difficulty here?
Do I roll with intellect or charisma?
I think this might be opposed. Mm. That's what I was checking. No, it's 10. It's 10. Your difficulty will be 10.
And what stat is the modifier on that roll?
For talk? That's probably charisma.
Oh, no. Okay.
But you're getting help from Hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think the way that works is I make a roll, and if I succeed, you're going to get a plus one on this.
Right.
So you roll first.
Yeah, I'll roll first. I'm not particularly good at talk, but, you know. Can't hurt to try.
Let's see what happens.
What happens is if I fail, I'm just involved.
It doesn't
penalize you.
Right.
But nope.
Okay.
Not even close.
Well, I'm going to roll.
Yeah. But I am obviously.
Oh, that was close, but no cigar.
Nope. Didn't do it.
So I think what happens is. It is close. I think what happens is Prometheus picks up the Gatling gun, And while she's looking at Darthur, she turns and points it at Hope, right? And she says, so she, your pilot, will stay here with me. You can wake up the techs, just Draco's techs. And okay. Then we're going to go open up. We're not waiting for them to come around. Then we're going to wake up Draco.
I can do that.
But your pilot stays right here with me. We'll be here on the bridge when you get back.
I want to, like, look at Hope and be like, you good? Is that okay?
You're fine. I go, Atlas, it's been really good knowing you. Just in case anything happens. And, like, she goes in to go hug, give you a hug. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll take the hug. But as you hug me, I say, you're not going to die.
Yeah. I say, get to the ship. I'll meet you there. Dude.
Love this.
That's awesome.
Okay, so this had nothing to do with the hug. It was all about sending coded information. Yeah.
What I want to do is go wake up all the techs and then get to the ship.
I love it.
Because I feel bad.
I do see this hug, by the way, and Dartha's like, there's this kind of like very human look of kind of, I don't know, compassion. Like that kind of like, oh, that's so sweet when they hug.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And it's really important that all of you go, right? Like Hope right. needs to be here. Right. Along.
And I think Prometheus sees the hug and that whole display and she shakes her head and she says, Dr. Long really broke you when they made you.
Going to take that bait because I'm going to say to Prometheus, so I'm going to need help waking up the techs, so I will be taking Timothy Raven and Dartha with me. We'll wake them up and meet you back here, and then we'll go get Draco.
I will be here with your pilot.
Sounds good. Let's go. And then the squad rolls out.
Nice.
I have so many questions for Dr. Long and about Dr. Long.
So, what's the plan? I will cut back to Hope. What does Atlas do with the squad? What's the real plan?
I want to go to the cryosleep chamber,
right?
And like wake up all of the techs, like initiate that process,
right?
And then once that process is initiated, like get back to the ship and meet Hope there.
Gotcha. Now you can do that. You can do that without going to the cryo chamber. You could head to your ship, right? Because you're in communication with the ship.
Right. So I can do that remotely. Okay.
Right.
Then I want to head back to the ship and remotely trigger that process.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say yes to all of that. There's nothing exciting going on there.
Cool.
So Hope and Prometheus are hanging out.
We're just chilling.
Right.
Does she have like the Gatling gun trained on me or is she like...
I think she does, right? I think it's like a cat and mouse kind of thing and she's the cat, right?
Yeah.
And so she's curious, amused, puzzled by why you all have this influence on her brethren, her kindred AI, right? And so she asks Hope, when did you find Atlas?
Our first mission here, days ago, a week ago, he was in stasis of sorts, sleeping. We found him in a lab, free floating in a vacuum. Pulled him back. Knew something was up because there was a human that was just hanging out in vacuum and he woke up.
She gets a little grin on her face and then there's this movement, like a choreograph of her and the dogs, and they kind of circle around you, right?
Yeah.
And she says, a human? You think Atlas is human?
I think Atlas is a person.
A human person.
I mean, I know something is going on. I mean, like, I know, Dominique, you know, at this point, we know, yeah. It's like, no, Atlas has told me that his body is a chassis, that his core is something else.
You know what a core is?
A sentience? A soul? Sort of?
You know where his core came from?
Let me guess, you're going to tell me Draco.
Do you know why we're called Cerebus?
Because you're the three heads of Hades?
We're all from Draco.
So, what happened to your brother?
I killed him.
Oh, why would you do that?
He didn't do what I wanted.
Oh, okay. I guess that's your thing. So if, so if Atlas doesn't do what you want, are you going to kill him too?
I will kill you all first, and then I will kill him.
But then you won't have the codes.
It takes me longer. Atlas can do it now.
It seems like Draco wouldn't have made all three of you if he didn't need three of you. Don't you think your dad might be a little bit upset if he wakes up and he finds out you committed fratricide?
And that's when she grabs her gun, right? Because you said too much, right? Uh-huh. And she points it at Hope. I don't know what you got planned. She's going to pull the trigger.
All right, I'm going to teleport the hell out of here. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I said everybody get out, because I'm going to teleport.
Nice.
So my plan is, so here's the thing. Normally teleportation requires you to commit effort, but
right.
With personal teleportation, you can teleport up to 10 meters as a move action without committing effort. So...
It nice.
Is 10 meters, I think, 10 meters, 36 feet, right? I think Hope has been trying to position herself so that she is close to the door, close-ish to the door. So that not only can she disappear, but she cannot be, not only can she get away, but she cannot be immediately visible. Now, Prometheus probably can ask the system where she is,
right.
And she'll have to run, but
right.
My hope is to get, you know, outside of this thing. And right. And Hope has never used this power intentionally before, but this is going to be the moment where Hope is like, Atlas has protected me plenty of times. It's time I do the same for him. I wish I had like a really good, like, witty one-liner of like, you know, I think I said, your dad's going to be pissed.
Right.
When he wakes up. And yeah, and then I bamf out of there.
And... Nice. And it's the when he wakes up part that sets her off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Do you want me to make a roll to do this? I mean, it's theoretically, it's a move action, so it could be an initiative roll or something like that. Like, it, I don't know if she's going to, unload before I do.
And Jay, if you think like it's more interesting that it succeeds, it could still be interesting to see the roll to see how gracefully it succeeds.
No, that's fair. Yeah, yeah. So let's do that. Let's make it an initiative roll. Normally All we right. do the popcorn initiative, but it actually kind of matters now.
Yep. I forget initiative. I think it's roll D8 plus Dex modifier. Is that right?
I just had an initiative button here.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I will roll mine. Second. All right, you got a 5. Okay. Let's see if I can beat that.
Oop, sorry. That's the wrong initiative. That's Harker. Yeah, it's D8.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, it would come out the same. Never mind.
All right, initiative. No, that's quick menu. Where is the button? I mean, slow.
Mine was on a quick menu.
Got it.
Top right?
Oh, no.
I don't know what happens on a tie. I mean, that feels like really perfect. Like,
yeah, it
she
does.
Goes to unload right as I vamp out of there.
Right, I think that is. I think that's exactly what happens there. I think they happen. I think you get out. I think maybe you take some of, maybe you generate a field. Maybe some of the shrapnel, some of the bullets, some of the ammunition come with you, right?
Okay.
But I think you get out of there as she unloads. I think, I mean, it's a big ass Gatling gun.
Yeah.
So I think Atlas and the rest of the squad, I think you guys can hear the shots, right? Or at least Atlas is aware of it from being plugged into the ship, right?
Yeah. But I also think that Atlas is worried, but trusts Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Hope said that she would make it to the ship, so she like better make it to the ship.
Right.
So I'm like choosing to remain calm about this situation.
Gotcha. I think that you guys are at the ship.
Oh, go can ahead. I just say that that veneer of calm, like I can read through that. Right? Like I can see that he's worried about Hope.
Like,
right?
Did like, Hope just get executed? Like,
I mean, we hear, like, we hear that, right?
Right,
and I can
right.
immediately see that, like, oh, damn, he's, and I just put out a pseudopod and rest it lightly on his shoulder.
Nice. Oh.
I'm very, thank you. I appreciate that, Dartha.
So I think Atlas, Dartha, Timothy, Raven, I think you guys are at the ship. I think everyone's prepping, getting it ready to take off. I think we're just waiting on Hope. You tell me if you were thinking something different, Sean. My thought is you could, you have enough range, you could teleport on the other side of the bridge door, of that threshold door.
Yeah.
Presumably it's closed.
Yeah.
You could teleport on the other side without opening it.
Exactly.
Right?
That is my thought. And I can teleport to any place I've seen, and I've seen
right.
that. So
yes.
I don't have to be, I don't have to have it in line of sight to do
nice.
It.
Nice.
So, yeah. So yeah, that's my thought is that at least if Prometheus has the ability to just track me because she has access to the system, then she could probably find me pretty quickly. But
right.
at least for a moment,
mm-hmm.
I'm outside of her view. And
right.
I think I'm running, teleporting my way back. I think I'm just like, whole ass. I'm just like, oh shit. And I think this is where Hope like learns to use the power. Like it happens kind of accidental, but she's just like, couldn't do it again. And she's like, it's the Steven Universe of like, try, pop. Okay. You know? And so she's going to take every shortcut she can to like duck through, you know, cut through doors, hallways, whatever, bamf back to the lab that we were in.
Right.
You know, where we got the gear, knock something in front of the door, bamf
right.
through, you know?
Nice.
And it's running and heaving and she was already exhausted. So yeah.
When you arrive on the ship, do you, like, run the last stretch, or do you just teleport onto the ship?
I think I just teleport right onto the bridge, right? Well, actually, there's an important thing I gotta do, which is to yell, incoming!
Right!
Because, I mean, honestly, like, Hope feels terrible about this. She's gonna try and get... I think she's not gonna teleport on the ship because she's gonna try and get everyone to get on the ship with her.
Okay.
It's a big ship, and she's terrified Prometheus is gonna kill all these people. Because she already killed a bunch of people here. So she's, yeah, I think she's going to like arrive in the scavengers area and mm-hmm. be like, everybody needs to get on my ship right now.
Is Ilya big enough for everyone?
I don't know. It's a really big ship. I think it
okay.
might be. I don't know.
Now, if you folks try to circle back around and check on the scavengers, you will find them gone.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where we docked, was with the scavengers.
Right, yeah.
So I
think when you get there, you see their ships are gone. They're nowhere to be found.
Perfect. That's
right?
great. Okay.
So whatever connections they had, or whatever that communication you passed back and forth, must have worked out.
Must have worked.
Right. They've taken off. None of their
great.
People are around. None of their ships are around.
Yeah, I think I'm like, never mind. Okay. And then, yeah. Are you all waiting like at the loading bay, like at the entrance to the ship, or you are on the bridge? Where are you all waiting for Hope?
I think we'd be like in our positions for takeoff, barring hope, because we're like just ready to yeet as soon as you are able to fly us.
Yeah. And I assume that you have like enough, everyone has enough sort of understanding of like the flying of the ship at this point that you can do the basics of like getting ready for takeoff and all that kind of stuff. So like revving up the engines and all that. So yeah, I think Hope just appears on the bridge.
I feel like I'm going to be like, I keep forgetting you can do that.
I didn't know I could either, but I guess I can.
Can I add one small part, which is, you know, like prior to you jumping onto the bridge?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like we see either it could be you, Atlas, I don't know, or it could be Timothy or whoever is like keeping the door open. Maybe it's Raven, right? And maybe I just say like, oh, you can close that. I don't know if it'll be necessary.
Nice. I think it's Timothy. I think Timothy has the most of a bond with Hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Love.
I think that's true. I think he's waiting on you.
Yeah.
And and I think he's reluctant, right? He's kind of, but we're not going to leave Hope, right?
I don't think I even answer him. I just like kind of move on. Like if he leaves it open, whatever, right?
Yeah. But I want to amend that then. I think instead of Hope coming onto the bridge all smooth and cool, I think she like teleports right in front of Timothy and like crashes into the wall. She's literally been running.
Right.
And then she just like bamps onto the ship, like through the door, but just like, but like her momentum just carries her like smash into the wall. And then she's like running along. Thanks, Timothy! You know, and then it's like running along because we know it's a circular ship. So she's like running along, trying to like not let her forward momentum like smack her into the wall. Like one of those things where you're just like off kilter and disoriented. And then just
dive directly into the spiky trap.
Yeah, exactly. but I don't want to like underestimate Prometheus's power. Does that sound reasonable to you, Jay? Do you think I need to make like an exert roll to see if I can get there before she can be on top of us or whatnot? Like, you know, I don't know how quickly she moves.
She can move pretty fast, but what I think what we see is, I think there's a chase. I think she's...
She can't teleport.
Right, she can't teleport, and that's the advantage. So I think when she comes around the corner where she knows you're supposed to be, she opens up, so we see scenes of her firing down the hall with this Gatling gun, right? And that might be the moment that you're also teleporting out of that, right? And so she's got to run and make up the distance to figure out where you're at next. Yep. And she's always a teleport behind, right? All the way to the ship. I think at the moment you folks fire up the ship, right? That's when the pre-tech vault ship does its customary send-off to Atlas, right? And at that point, she knows where everyone is going.
Yeah, because she hears that.
Right, she hears that.
Yeah.
And I think you guys disengage, right, and take off. Maybe if you're looking out, right, you can see her enter that bay where the scavengers were, right? And I think maybe she fires out, right, with the Gatling gun out into space, right?
Yeah.
Because she is pissed off, right? But it will do no good, right? Because you guys, it's space, right? You're out far enough, but. For effect.
It's just the point blank screaming into the abyss, right?
Yes, yes.
I can understand that.
That was a nice move, deciding, yeah, no, it's okay, I'll stay, right?
Yeah.
That was really smart. That was so smart.
That was smart. That was really smart.
I was so happy when she was like, you. I'm like, okay.
And that was all because, like, you helped and it didn't work out. And I'm like, so her attention switches, right?
Yep.
Oh, so you want to speak up for her, huh? Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. I think you see Hope, like, grab a hold of, like, an injector. And she, like, basically, like, gives herself a little stimulant because she's just exhausted. You know, she's just... Everything it seems like is taken out of her psychic energy, her physical energy, her emotional energy. And so she like gives herself this upper and her eyes go bloodshot and wide. And then she kind of dives into the receptacle the spike drive. Exactly.
Right. So basically a space latte is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We got a space latte.
Yes.
In the future, we don't drink coffee. We inject.
Yeah.
Intramuscular caffeine.
Well, yeah, and it's very clear that like this is like part of the ship's accompaniment. Like it's like in a panel next to the cockpit. Right.
Like
there's a.
It's not for emergency. It's like, oh, here for the pilot.
a lot of truck drivers do lots of coke and speed to do their truck drive, and a lot of them, from what I've heard, are like, yeah. So what's what you do, right?
Right,
same thing with a lot of bartenders, right? Like,
yeah.
it's not healthy. But it's also not.
But this is also a very big space truck, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want to do is drive space trucks. Tomes, you got me.
Time to go to work.
Yeah.
I have so many questions for Dr. Long. I feel like when we get back to the station, I'm just going to be like, excuse me, sir. We're going to need to talk to me right now.
Yeah. No, no more of this avoiding our conversations.
All right, well, let's cut to that, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
We get back to the station. You dock. Everyone's... yeah, everyone's off the ship. You're making your way straight to Dr. Long's office?
Yes.
I actually would not like to go to Dr. Long's office. What I would like to do, though, is give you my key card, which allows you to hit direct access to Dr. Long.
Okay. That's exciting.
All right.
But I give it to you, and I hand it to you, like, slowly and deliberately, and I'm like, this will get you to him.
Okay.
And then I turn
around. I feel like Hope, though she didn't take hit points damage, needs, like, med bay.
Yeah.
Like... I feel like she has just tapped. She made this spike drive in record time. She took shortcuts. She hit grav blades on the way. She had to do all that. She went from like incredibly stressful environment to metadimensional space travel, which is also incredibly stressful, and takes her precog abilities and her effort is gone. So I think like
when I was gonna say you spent all your effort, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when we arrive, I think Hope is just in no shape to go with you at all, unfortunately.
Can that be the reason that I give you, Atlas, my key card is because I'm like, I feel responsible, like I'm supposed to be the crew leader officially, you know? So, and I'm sure Timothy's helping me take you to medbay or whatever.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense.
Nice.
Is that cool with you, Dominique, to have this one-on-one with Dr. Long?
Terrifying, but in a good way. Let's do it. Do I know how to get to his office on my own?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because you downloaded everything there is to know about human history, right?
That's true. I keep forgetting that I would just have like schematics for that.
Right. Of the ship. Yeah. So.
I low wisdom, high intelligence. the Atlas for me. Yeah, I'm just gonna go straight to his office and hope he's there.
And he is. I think his private quarters and his office. Are the same, right? I think they're the same space. It may be divided up, but I think, right, he goes from his office to his quarters. They're close enough and together.
But I want to, like, swipe the key card to go directly into his office and be like, Dr. Long?
Right. And I think he comes out of, like, the private quarter side, and he's got a bowl of something that he's eaten, and he's like, yes?
I think there are some things we should talk about. We just got back from the prefect vault, by the way. We got the data you wanted. It was a successful mission. But I have some questions for you, if that's okay.
Sure, that's fine. What kind of stuff did you find out there?
Well,
and then he kind of sits down at his regular desk, right? And he clears some space off so he can put his bowl of, maybe he's eating noodles. I think he's eating noodles, right? And he's really into his bowl, but he's like, so what did you find out there?
Well, we ran into another pre-tech AI. My brother, sister, and found out, well, before that, the other pre-tech AI that we ran into mentioned your name.
My name?
She said that Dr. Long messed up when they made me. So I... of course, have questions about that statement, namely, Do you know who made me? Did you make me? Are you immortal? And do you know Prometheus?
And I think he laughs, right? That's awesome.
I love the barrage of questions. Are you immortal?
He says, no, I am very much mortal. I might live to 80, right? Without parts or anything like that. And I'm not a parts guy. I like all my natural stuff. I like to be organic. I come from a long, pardon the pun, line of longs. It is, I don't know how many greats. Dr. Horatio Long. I suspect he had a hand in your design. That would have been centuries ago.
At least 600 years. But you see how I would wonder if you were immortal. You see how I would have that question, right? I'm not, like, crazy. do you have any sort of archival data on this Horatio Long? That would be very useful to me.
I'm hoping it's in the data you recovered or it's on the ship. I think he's still on the ship.
Would he be one of the people in Attica? Would he be one of the people in cryosleep? Oh, shit.
Probably.
So we're going to have to go back again.
I don't know. Maybe if you need him, I don't know. But he says, I think if not, I'm hoping there's information out there. He did some amazing things in AI work that we haven't been able to bridge the gap since the screen.
Did he create Draco?
No, I think my knowledge is so the story is Draco was destroyed, but that's not quite true.
We learned that the hard way.
So they kind of wanted to look at how Draco was made, and he was a pioneer in that field. They had a phylactery of Dracos, and they were doing research on it and trying to figure out how to break Draco. Could they spin off other cores from Draco? What kind of technology could... Because Draco is a unique individual, a being. And what could we gain? What could we salvage from the phylactery? I don't know what happened or what went wrong, but it appears that station is the research center where most of that work was going on at.
And what I want to do is look in all the data that I downloaded and see if I can find like a manifest if the wall is in cryosleep and just see, is there a Dr. Long that I woke up?
Oh, you know there's a Dr. Long in cryosleep? Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm going to say to the current Dr. Long,
right?
The team needs a bit of time to recover, and there's another pre-tech AI aboard the pre-tech vault that could be kind of dangerous, but we're going to need to go back and get your many times great grandfather.
Why do you have to go get him?
I have questions for him, obviously.
I understand.
Why did I not want to talk to the person who made me or who was instrumental in making me?
I understand. I only ask because I don't have a need for him if it's dangerous. I don't want to get people killed to retrieve an ancestor of mine that's been asleep over at least 600 years. But if you have a need, then I understand.
I appreciate that. I really wish that you told us about Draco sooner, but there's not much that can be done for that yet.
I don't know what I would have told you. I didn't know Draco was actually out there. I know about Draco, but I didn't know that that was the place. You confirmed that for me by bringing that data back.
So you suspected that?
I suspected it could be, yes.
I think we would have been more useful to you if we knew what you were looking for, but sure.
I think when I sent the original team, you were not part of that original team. You have an advantage of being able to move around the ship, and you're of that ship, right? You weren't part of my initial analysis of, and so I didn't want them to be endangered. I just wanted them to grab something, bring any data back, and we would have inferred or implied some things from that. You have inside knowledge that we didn't have before.
I mean, most of my inside knowledge comes in the form of another 600-year-old pre-tech AI who was trying to kill my friends. I think that maybe that could have been avoided, is what I'm trying to suggest, but it's fine. It's really fine.
It's fine.
Glad Hope isn't dead.
You know, Hope didn't die, so we're chilling.
I love that there's this passive-aggressive stuff going on here.
Nice.
Cut to Hope leaning heavily on Dartha as she's walking her to the
med
to the med bay.
Yeah, yeah. And Timothy's all wet nurse about it. You can be. You want me to get you anything? Do you want? I could get you some tea. Would you like some tea? Would that help?
Oh, why does Timothy have a crush on Hope? It's so clear. I think Hope is like, you know, I need to hydrate. If you could get me like, you know, 32 ounces of
future Gatorade.
Good old, yeah.
Future Gatorade.
Of electrolytes, of liquid. I mean, I assume, honestly, like I imagine, yeah, pilots do have, or like any, that there is like the Gatorade equivalent, right?
Right, right. No, I see what you're saying, because we know you're losing these nutrients, these things out of your body. Here's a quick way to put it all back real fast.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm with you.
Well, what's it do you call give for kids? Pedialyte, I think.
Yeah. Pedialyte, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like exactly like 32 ounces of space Pedialyte, please, Timothy.
Nice.
Tastes like crap, but you know, yes. It does the trick.
I think when Atlas and Dr. Long are done and Atlas leaves, right? I think right outside the office of Dr. Long, Raven is just kind of butted up against the wall. Like she knows someone's in there having a conversation. I'm just going to wait. And then when you leave, when you come out, she's just, you know, she's cool, whatever, right? And then she turns and she goes in. And I think, you know, she's about to give a report on everything that happened, right, to Dr. Yeah. Long, and like she does, and but you beat her there, and she's like, yeah, whatever.
I'm gonna just say he already knows about Prometheus and just keep moving. Like, nice. Yeah, I wanted Raven to like me, but I'm kind of mad right now.
I'm mad.
I mean, I think we all feel a little betrayed. Yeah,
right. Nice. Anything? I have one last scene, but that can wait. I need that to be the last scene.
I have a thing, but Sean, go ahead.
Well, my thing was about you, Tom, so maybe it's your thing. I know that you wanted to try and introduce Atlas and Hope to to your friends, who I'm... Clack and Sinclair.
Right.
Yes.
So I wanted to give some time to that if that was.
I have an idea of how that scene might look.
Sure.
But it doesn't start with the introducing you guys. Like, I'm not taking you guys there.
Right.
It starts actually with me already being in that little kind of like lounge area where I ran into them last time. Right.
Right.
I think it starts with me there already with them. And, you know, I'm coming into the place and they run up to me. And Jay, feel free to flavor them however you like.
Uh-huh.
But they kind of come up to me and they're, you know, again, it's like, oh, what happened? How are you doing? And da 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 da. And I go straight into gossip mode, just like last time. I'm just like, oh my God. And I just start like gushing story stuff and like how I felt about it. And there's a part where I'm like, oh, and then Hope. And one of them, I think Clack is like, wait, which one is that? And I'm like, you know, the one, the defect, right? Like, because you defected over the defector, right? I'm like, the defector. And you know, Clack immediately is like, oh, got it, you know? But I've already fallen into using your name. Like, the first time I was like, oh, that the defector, right?
Right,
like,
right.
I say Hope first now. And so, you know, we're sitting there and I'm just like, and then this happened and this, and I'm saying all sorts of stuff, which does not sound like it should be shared in a public space.
Yeah, right.
Like, right.
It's about the teleportation. And then this person, and he stole the ability. I have not seen that before. And I'm just like blabbing this, you know, like all over the place. But I'm walking with them and then the door opens and there's this kind of like entryway kind of guest area.
Right, right.
I kind of like the idea that both of you are sitting there at a table.
Nice.
Just cool with it.
Yeah, I love it. Hope has like a big old like straw and a thing and she's just like...
It's like a gallon jug of
Pedialyte. What's that?
Like just a gallon jug of Pedialyte.
Yeah, it's all pink. And she's looking at it like it's the grossest thing on the planet, but she keeps drinking it.
Nice. And Atlas is at that table as well?
Yeah, okay. I think so, right? I think Atlas and Hope, and Hope's like, Hope is so exasperated by your story of Dr. Log. She's like, yeah. He didn't freak out. How can he not, you know, and she's just like, cause he was so cool about it. Right. He was so like, oh, well, yeah. we didn't know that this was the plan. And Hope seems mostly upset about the fact that like, I told him about it because I thought that Erdos was going to use it in a war and I wanted to neutralize those weapons so that, you know, Erdos didn't destroy Yon or vice versa. He doesn't even care about that. So she's just kind of kvetching about like,
right.
You know, this was not the mission, and I guess I don't even know what the mission is.
What the mission is.
Yeah. So that's I think what you find. Hope yeah. hearing the story from Atlas and complaining about it.
Yeah.
Back to him. Not complaining about Atlas, complaining about Dr. Long.
Complaining about Dr. Long, but back to Atlas.
But yeah, I bring these folks in and I just introduce you guys. Yeah. And I, you know, this is Clack. This is Sinclair. This is Hope. This is Atlas. And, you know, I just sit down in one of the chairs in that table. And like, I kind of like the idea that they both just, the others yeah. sit down yeah. as well.
Perfect. Yeah. I need a reaction roll, 2d6. They're two new aliens. So one roll from each of you, Atlas and Hope. Cool. But you're going to share both roles. So one roll is for Clack and one is for Sinclair.
Got it.
Two separate
areas. Is there a key command in World 20 to roll to like, is it /R?
/R space. Yep.
I always forget.
I'm trying to see if there's something on the character sheet, but I don't think there is. Maybe it's on the quick roll. Initiative saves.
I have a reaction under quick roll.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can just roll it. So it's 2d6 straight, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, lovely. 7 and 3.
So Clack is around Dartha. Well, Dartha knows Clack is. I don't know, full of energy, right? Frenetic, almost, right?
Yes.
Talkative. All its arms are in motion and gesturing, and at this point, it kind of becomes withdrawn a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think Clack has some color changing ability. So usually it's a vibrant green. And I think everyone sees this. It goes from that vibrant green pretty quick to like a mottled brown kind of color, right? And so it's kind of...
Does like yeah. one or two of the arms like retract in to like inside yeah. against the body?
Yeah, like, I like that. To yes.
move away, right?
Yes, like, yes.
I do think I reach out with a pseudopod mm-hmm. and just kind of like touch Clack's, maybe like the back carapace kind of like area, you know, just kind of like lay a hand, if you will, on there as a, just like a kind of like emotional steady mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yes, this is uncomfortable, but I'm here.
Right, right.
Right. Nice. I think Sinclair has that robotic kind of base, because it's a textured sphere that kind of hovers above it, right? But it kind of needs that base. And it's got a synthetic voice, and that synthetic voice says, "And which one is the defector?"
Oh, no.
I love it. Loud enough to hear, of course.
Yes.
I think Hope looks at Dartha, realizes that must be the way Dartha responded, and she's just so like, again, she's just like so fucking over it and exhausted. She's just like, like not even gonna react heavily, just kind of raises her finger like this one.
And I know that there's a certain part I cannot salvage about that, but there is one part I can, and I just wave another pseudopod toward Hope, and I say, "This is Hope," like, so that, you know, he says her name, right?
And yeah. Sinclair does. Sinclair says, "Ah, Hope, the defector."
Oh no!
A little wordy. And, and like, in part, Hope is a shortening of her designation, so you know she doesn't like these long titles and whatnot. So
right, nice.
You know, by taking Hope and extending it, it's like defeating the purpose of her aesthetic, but also yeah, Sinclair. Yeah. Dartha's talked all about you. She said that you are the life of the disco party. And I'm just imagining this ball being like, you know, like a disco ball, whatever. She says you're the life of the dance party. I'm like two left feet, but you know, maybe we could at some point, once I've gotten all of my organic nutrients in, we could go out for a spin sometime. And you know, like offering to go dance, you know, sometime in the future,
right?
With Sinclair, pretty unfazed by the whole defector part, like
right.
Like, okay, fine. We're all friends here, sort of. But yeah, does he ease at all, or is he still like very, very aloof? I mean, the reaction roll was poor. I don't know which one got which, but
yeah, we're great. Clack got Atlas's roll, so Clack is kind of neutral,
yeah,
which means he's afraid, right?
Okay, yeah.
Sinclair got the other one, which is negative, unfriendly, unhelpful.
Yeah, okay, all right.
This is back to just trying to be as small as possible to like not intimidating. So I feel like in this episode we've seen Atlas being like taking up as much space as possible to like intentionally look a little bit scary, and we got like Atlas being like, okay.
I love the idea of you like shrinking under the table a little bit.
I was just like sitting slouching, at a table like this, like,
slouching in intentionally. Yeah. Yeah, in the same way that Clack is, right? Like shrinking into yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
So I'm 100% into this like very uncomfortable scene.
Yeah. I think like a server should show up and be like, "So, do you know what you want to order?" Super awkward thing, because none of us have looked at the menus because we're all just staring at each other.
Nice.
Think about like, to what extent is food the same in the future? To what extent is food necessary to Atlas?
Yeah, I love it. Should we cut there, or do you want?
I think there's one little part. If we're cutting there, there's definitely one part where we see Dartha later, like, back in whatever her chamber is.
Nice. She's
like, "I guess that could have gone a little bit better."
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Very cool. And Jay, you said you wanted to, you had a scene that you wanted.
Yes, I think if it's okay, I'm going to move that Dartha thought back a little bit. Maybe you're thinking that on the way back to your chambers.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
You it get to right. your chambers, and there's some voices that you can hear in your chambers, right? And what's weird is you've heard this conversation before, right? It's the conversation that you had in episode one when you guys are in the that room that's about to be vented, and then you make your way into that tank, right? And it's everybody's voices, right? So you hear what you say, you hear Hope, you hear Timothy, "Hey, can you get this door open?" Right? You hear that whole thing replaying out. And as you walk into your room, you see Sinclair. His base is near the door where you come in, but his sphere is kind of floating in the room, and there's these thin pencil-like tendrils just kind of weaving throughout the room. And there's like a greenish-bluish hologram-ish kind of thing laid out in your room of that whole scene and everyone doing what they were doing. Like he's playing, replaying your memory, but visually right there in the room. And then the back part of the sphere opens up and there's like a pupil there, right? And it's like a menacing looking pupil. And then Sinclair says, "You should have not come in here." And that's the scene.
Wow.
How are you going to tell people they shouldn't have come into their own room? That's so rude.
It's an alien. What's it going to do? Ice alien. This is a bad time. You shouldn't have come in here.
Love it.
I was not ready for that.
It's so stressful.
I did not know how. I did not know how Sinclair got that information, that recording, and I want to find out. So
find out.
Nice.
I have so many questions, and we have to go back to the frickin' pre-tech vault.
Of course,
vault
we gotta go back.
Again.
Back to the vault. All right, let's
and it's
do
it. Funny, I want to go back, but I'm kind of don't want to know the answer.
Yeah, don't want to know. Nice. Episode let's do XPs. Yes.
Return to the vault.
So our group goal was to get the nav data from, the vault, which we did.
Right. So let me tell you what you got. Yeah. You've got that nav data, right? You've got, I think, 3 new points on the map, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bad science weaponry, because I found my section.
Nice.
Oh, and then I lost it again, but I knew where I'm going. Is a thing called, I want to say, polymorphic nanites.
That sounds scary.
Yes. And that's what Harker was after.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But he didn't get it.
Right. He didn't get the data to find out where he needed to be on the ship to go grab.
Got it.
That weaponry.
Got it.
And I was just looking at this.
Cool. So we could.
There it is.
Go back and look for it ourselves.
Yeah, polymorphic nanites.
Got it. Very cool.
They're bad news.
They're bad news?
Yeah, you can make almost anything once you have some of those.
Oh.
They're simple use, but in this case, they were using them for weaponry, and now we're looking at pre-tech weaponry, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And not guns and heavy weapons. Like, planet leveling weaponry.
Jesus, Louis. Okay. Yes, that's the thing I want to keep people from getting. I'm glad if we stole that data before Harker could get it. Well, we got to get back there before he finds it, because he could still just find it by searching the vault.
Right.
So. Yeah, it just takes him longer, right? He doesn't. Yeah. All right. And now, yes, and that was that goal, retrieving the nav data, but that's everything in that nav package that you got.
Cool. Excellent. Data. Nice. Okay, so we did that. So that's 2 XP for each of us. And then there's personal goals. So
yes.
Atlas, what were your goals?
My 3 goals were to see if there was other pre-tech on Hades that would be useful for me, learn more about how social relationships function for Dartha, and my 3rd goal was kind of a joke, but it actually happened. Be the ultimate himbo tank pacifist.
yeah.
I think I succeeded, if at nothing else, at least got the 3rd goal, because yes, I was a himbo tank pacifist.
You were, and I think you also connected with Dartha in terms of a lot of, you know, sharing a lot of emotional content, and
yeah.
Like, I care about these friends, especially Dartha. cool. So that means as long as it doesn't matter how many you get, but just as long as you accomplish one of them, you get an extra XP. So you get one more, total at 9. And then Dartha?
So one of my goals was to see what happens when precogs get into a tussle, because I mean, like, what is that? And so
nice.
In fact, I tried to instigate it. Like, part of that whole, like, no, sorry, we can't let you do that wasn't because, like, I didn't have a strong I knew what it would do. It would cause that to happen.
Yeah. Right, oh, that's right. Cool. That's cool.
That
that's
is not, cool. That is awesome.
Not, I thought it was you just making a call, not like you being right. curious about.
I was, but it had nothing to do with that, like, download thing.
Nice.
That's and awesome. So the second one was introduce any prospective compatriots, Atlas Hope, to any current compatriots, which is Clack and Sinclair, right. to see how that interaction looks and feels. And we definitely got to see some of that.
Definitely got to see that. It was bad.
The last one was reveal a secret to any prospective compatriots to see how they take it. And I think we don't get to see that this time around, but what we did get to see if we like re-edit and see the show again is like different parts where I turn to both of you at different times. And I'm like, gonna tell you something, and I don't tell you something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's a goal you can keep for next session if you wanted yes. to. But yeah, so you, I just marked yours as 9 as well. And let me pull up Hope. What did I do with Hope? There she is. My goals for with Hope were disable, nope, that was previous one. Find out who hired Harker. What do they want? I think I don't quite find out who hired Harker, but I think I found out what he wanted by right. getting the data right. before he did. Answer the distress call on the feed. I did not do that. And I had another one. I don't know why I didn't, why it's not showing up here, but it was get my friends out of this situation without harm.
Nice.
Which was accomplished.
I will quote, I pray to 7 sons I didn't lead them into a trap.
Yes, that's it. Why do I not have it on there on my sheet?
But I yes, see it in Slack. But yeah.
It's in Slack. I didn't put it on the sheet, but yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that on there. So yes, I'm going to take 3 as well. So we're all at 9 XP, which means next session, if we get full XP again, we will... level, but we do
level up.
We got leveled this time, which is nice. I like the kind of, you know, every other. If we level every session, it's you know, cool to get powers. But
yeah, I like that it happens pretty rapidly, but then it starts to stretch out after 3rd level.
Right? Yeah,
and I think about 3rd level, you don't feel as fragile.
Yeah, you've got a few more skill points. You've been able to allocate a few things. You're still capped at like skill level 2, which means. Right. You know, the dice are finicky, but I mean, it's okay. We did all right with fail, despite, you know, dice not being in our favor. We had a few tricks up our sleeve.
Nice.
Yeah, this was really fun. I'm so, so glad we made up the session. I was telling everybody off stream, like, usually when we can't do a session, like, that just means it's not going to happen. And you could tell that all of us love this game very much because we found another time to do it. Anywho, let's say adieu. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. I had a blast playing Hope tonight. Tomorrow you can find me on the station, on the channel again at 4:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern, playing Mnemonic with the creator Dee Penway and some other very rad folks. My game, Agon, is apparently shipping. Usually when we get books, we ship comp copies to the creators first, and so they get them like for like a week or two before backers do. But our warehouse, because they were really concerned about getting them out on time, just shipped everything. So I haven't gotten my copy yet, but I've heard lots of people have, and I've seen pictures, and it looks beautiful. So
nice.
I'm very excited to have that in my hands someday soon. How about you, Dominique?
I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns. You can find me at domidicky.com and on Twitter at domsdicky. I had an adventure out with Monty Cook Games recently, and I'm putting out a game this month. It's called Trial. It's a narrative courtroom RPG about a murder trial. And you can follow me on Twitter for more info on that. Yeah, how about you, Tomes?
Tomer Tomes, he, him. And just you'll find me in a couple different places, but coming up there is StrategicCon, which is LA's convention in early September. We're going to have an online version. We did a free one. This one's going to be $5 unless you want to volunteer to run a couple games, in which case you get a free pass. But it'll be board games, RPGs, all sorts of stuff. I run games on demand there. So we do kind of the ad hoc story games. And the other place you'll find me is Story Games Glendale, our LA based, like it used to be a meetup, now it's virtual, so it doesn't have to be LA, I guess. But tonight we were actually doing our RPG Makers meetup, which we do every other week, where we do like lean coffee and some playtesting and things like that. And on the alternate Tuesdays, we have our indie RPG night, which is also kind of like games on demand. You show up, people pitch games, and we get into tables virtually. So that's me.
Nice. Nice. How about you, Jay?
I'm Jay. You can find me on Twitter at MadJZero. I'm the host of the Diceology podcast, and currently I'm loaded up with running or organizing Games on Demand online. So you can find that at gamesondemand.online. We're going to run games at the end of this month. So
very cool.
That is probably, so I run a quarterly, well, I used to, quarterly meetup here in Kansas City. And so doing Games on Demand online is probably the largest organizing I've done ever. So it's crazy. So, but it's
congratulations.
Fun,
so. That's exciting. Well, yeah, you're in good hands, right? Talk to Tom's, yeah. Talk to, you know, you got all the Origins folks. I think you're going to kill it. All right, everyone, thanks again for hanging out with us, and we'll see you again. We'll be back in this game next Thursday.
Yes.
Later, all.
Do you know who made me? Did you make me? Are you immortal? I just love Dominique and, by extension, Atlas's questions in this game, because they're so good. They're so true. I also love that line where Dartha said, being between you and the gun is part of my job description, part of the job description. It's very good stuff. Wow, this was another fantastic session. That mad dash away from Prometheus, teleporting and slamming into things. It felt very Nightcrawler. It felt very cool. It felt very learning to use new abilities. And then getting back and Atlas's conversation with Dr. Long and learning about great-great-great-great-grandpa Horatio Long really made us think maybe freeing all those scientists was a bad idea. We heard about making them making some bad tech. What's that all about? What's going to happen if we somehow recover Draco? Where is Draco? Yeah, so many questions that I want to know the answers to. And then that very awkward gathering of friends with Clack and Sinclair and Dartha and Atlas and Hope sipping on her space Pedialyte. And that final moment of Sinclair saying, you shouldn't have come here. Gotta find out what that's about. All right, stay with us next time.